Hi, this is Terry Marks from the St. Petersburg Arts Alliance. I am so excited for this radio broadcast today for many reasons. One, it's the last one of the year, yay, and it's been a really remarkable year, so very grateful for all our supporters and our board and staff. And speaking of staff, when I was looking for somebody to interview for this last broadcast, I spoke to our marketing manager, Alexa Espinoza, who's been with us over 90 days right now, and she's just doing great work. And her suggestion was an artist by the name of Ketsy Ruiz. Now, Ketsy is not only an artist, she's a teacher. She's also the marketing director of Mi Gente, Mi Pueblo. And I hope I said that okay. So I'm just going to ask Ketsy, who's sitting right next to me now, just give us a little bit of your background and also your journey. And how being a part of Latinx diaspora has influenced your artistic expression. I know that's a big question, but
yeah,
go for it.
No, thank you for introducing me. Thank you for this opportunity and speaking with you guys today. Thanks to Alexa, fellow friend here at Mi Gente, Mi Pueblo. You did. It was very, very close, by the way. Mi Gente, Mi Pueblo.
Really?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Good. I'm going to practice.
You're doing good.
Okay.
So my name is Ketsy. As Terry said, artist known as Sketsy is, I guess, how a lot of people know me in the community. I am a fine artist, mostly doing acrylic on canvas. I'm also a digital artist and a muralist, most recently in my art career. And I work out of St. Pete, Florida. I also work out of Atillo, Puerto Rico. So I live like part-time in Atillo, Puerto Rico, and part-time here in Florida as well. And as far as my journey in the Latinx community, it is inherently who I am. So my art couldn't be anything other than that. And any story that I tell through my pieces is embedded in culture. That's just all there is to it. I was actually raised a military brat, so I've lived all over the United States. It's like 8 cities or so, I believe, I've lived in, if not over 8 cities, a couple of states. And I always find my community wherever I've gone to, specifically the Puerto Rican community. We are everywhere. And when I realized that we have all gotten to different places, the diaspora, in a sense, we have like our own community. So I always say, like, when I find other diaspora kids, we align in so many ways. We have so many things that are in common, and not just in the Latin community, just diaspora kids in general. So like when your culture is very influential in your home, and you live in the United States, you have this, you're living in the in-between is what I call it, because you have American culture that is a part of your household, but you also have the culture of where you're from. And so where you're from creates that diaspora, and you see these unique things. You know, there are these things in your family that you know are very unique. And when I started meeting other people who have those same type of stories, you're like, all right, they're unique, but we have this commonality as far as like people who live in the diaspora in the U.S. So a lot of my work is actually based on that.
So those challenges being in that diaspora, we spoke a little bit about it in terms of finding support, finding funders, finding people of like mind or background. Can you address a little bit of those challenges that you've had?
Sure. Yeah. Specifically to the Puerto Rican community and being a Puerto Rican artist, it goes back to the living in the in-between. So I'm not really considered a Latin American artist because I'm not from or living in a Latin American country. I'm in a Commonwealth of the United States. I'm from a Commonwealth of the United States. So that also doesn't make me a Puerto Rican artist because I'm not currently living in Puerto Rico or was born in Puerto Rico. So it's this really weird thing where, you know, I work in a lot of nonprofits, and where grant and funding come from, it's I'm lost in that sense, you know. And there was actually a project that I was talking to you about that came up at the Center for Puerto Rican Studies in New York. They actually received funding to start a diaspora project of artists so they can archive their work, because our work isn't archived. We get lost. We get put into a hole or forgotten about because we're in the middle.
So there's challenges within the art world. underrepresented artist, not only in, you know, in terms of Puerto Rican artists, but artists of African descent, BIPOC artists. And at the St. Petersburg Arts Alliance, we want to continue, which is what we're doing today, to shine light on those artists that are not represented in galleries, not represented in museums, and need to have the support of communities around them, and need to elevate and educate, raise consciousness about artists that are underrepresented, because it not only removes the artist from their ability to be able to communicate and connect, but it robs the community itself of the richness of your background. So let me ask you this. What role do you think art plays in our society today, and how do you hope that your particular work impacts others?
Another loaded question, but I think...
That's all I got.
Yeah, loaded questions. I think this one is, it's like the tale as old as time thing, so art is recorded history. And I think, maybe not now more than ever, it always has been important, but when we are in a place of turmoil, specifically like in politics in the U.S. and things that are going on, really, really big societal shifts, history and recorded history has always been a very important thing. And art does that. Like, art transcends writing. And as we know now, there are so many different things that are being thrown out there. History is being rewritten, reposted, remixed by people who aren't necessarily in these communities or from these communities, especially when it comes to culture in the U.S. And we're losing bits and pieces of history as well, whether that's in, you know, our schooling, our formal education system, or just in books in general. And I think that's what art does. Art is recorded. Art doesn't lie. Like, art is the recorded history, and we need that, and we need to keep that. And especially, like, for things that I do, like, I write these narratives in my art. It's not going to lie. Regardless of how someone interprets it, that is recorded history. So I think that that's probably, like, the most important thing that it's doing right now and continues to do. Like I said, like, that's just something it always does. It just always comes to mind, especially in times of turmoil. And then that's what I hope my art does. I hope that my art is telling these stories on a recorded timeline, and someone can see it and know, like, what's going on in that era, in that time frame.
And not only your art, but your spoken word and your story and how that's represented. And, you know, one of the things that we're looking at as we head into very shortly into the new year is, of course, funding for the arts. Mm-hmm. And last year, or I should say this past year in 2024, unfortunately, you know, we as a state lost art funding, and there were only a couple of cities that stepped up and replenished. St. Pete, and to the credit of Gina Driscoll and the city council and our mayor, Ken Welch, stepped up and replenished that. But as we look into the future, the communication and the connection is even more vital, because we have to make sure that our community supports art, comes out on Art Walk, which, by the way, is this Saturday from 5 to 9. If you have nothing to do, it is a great way to support artists all over our city. Go out to Art Walk this Saturday.
I'll be there.
You'll be there.
Yes, I will.
Okay. That's great. So let me ask you this. Of the pieces that you have created, which of your pieces holds the most personal significance to you? And what is the story behind that piece? Can you describe it?
Yes. So it's not really hard to pick one, but I always say, like, the last piece that I do is my favorite piece. So every time I make a piece, I'm like, oh, this one's my favorite. No, now this one's my favorite. So it's like every time I create a new piece, it's my favorite. And I think it's because it gets more and more personal over time. So I'll say it's my latest piece that I've done. And I believe I finished it at the beginning of this year, end of last year. And it's called Reclamando My Roots, Reclaiming My Roots. And it is of my two grandmothers, my great-grandmother, myself, and my mother, and we're sitting around a table playing bingo, because I used to play bingo with my great-grandmother at her home. And we call them the señoras of the family, so the elders would let me sit down and play bingo with them, and I just thought that was the coolest thing ever, that I would play bingos with the señoras. And we would actually bet, and we'd have quarters with us. And then there's also in the background of this painting a booklet, and the booklet has all of my family members as indigenous people, like who we were, you know, in history. So it's about like my elders and reclaiming my roots. And then there's also in the bingo cards, there are indigenous symbols, Taino symbols, and each symbol represents like what that person means to me in my life, kind of like their characteristics are in there. So they're embedded in the painting are like all these small little personal things. But I thought it was really cool when people see it and like what they interpret from it. And it's like, oh, we used to play dominoes at my abuela's house. Or like, we used to play this game and that's what I saw. That's what we did.
Well, in my family, we used to play Mahjong. So,
okay.
Yeah, my grandmother used to get around with her friends, and that was handed down to my mom and onward. So it's the same kind of gathering. It's almost like, you know, being in the kitchen and, you know, shucking peas and things like that and you know, or slicing carrots or it's treasures.
Yes.
Know, it's treasures.
Yeah, for sure. Memories.
Yeah, it's really, really great. So how do you see your art evolving in the next few years? Like, how would you like to evolve as an artist?
Yeah, first I really need to get back into the studio. I've been doing a lot of nonprofit work, which is important work, you know, nonetheless, but I really want to get back in the studio. And I have a whole list actually in my iPhone. I have a section called notes. I have a section that's called painting ideas. And so every time an idea comes up, I throw it in there. And I'm at like 15 ideas. That takes a long time to paint 15 paintings. But my next big goal is to be acquired by an institution. So I would love for my work to be acquired by a museum or a university. So that's where I want to go next, whether like gallery representation happens within that, you know, journey, I'm not sure. But that is one of my really big goals right now.
So I would encourage you and any of the artists that are listening to actually get out at Art Walk and talk to some of the gallerists and understand what their aesthetics are and how they select, you know, pieces for their gallery and make those connections. And as we all know, everything comes out of relationships.
Yes.
So I think it would really be important to do something like that. Are there new mediums, themes, techniques you want to explore? Are there...
Yeah, always. I really want to get back into gouache. I'm actually going to be in there's a show that's going to happen.
Okay, wait a minute. What's that?
Gouache?
Yeah.
Oh, gouache is like the in-between of acrylic and watercolor.
Okay, didn't know that. Learned something.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah. It's a really cool medium because it's more matte than watercolor, but it's not as, I don't know, heavy or substantial as acrylic. And you can do it on paper. So that's what's really nice about it.
Oh.
It gives a really illustrative effect because it ends up looking like, depending on how you paint with it, it can look like a digital illustration. Yeah, so I'm going to be in a show at the Florida Craft Art in January, I believe.
Oh, wonderful.
And I think I'm going to do it in gouache. So I'm like, all right,
back at it. Oh, that's great. They're wonderful. They're good friends of ours.
Oh, awesome.
Okay, so I guess last question. If you weren't painting... If you didn't have any paints and you didn't have any canvas and if you weren't an artist, what would you be doing?
Oh, gosh. It would still be creative in some entity, I feel like. Maybe something in like the acting field or behind the scenes of that. Something creative for sure. Or dance. When I was younger, I wanted to be a choreographer. I think it's like it's dance, it's acting. Honestly, it's anything creative. Spoken word, probably all of that put together. I'd probably be in some other like field of creative art.
What's interesting, you know, when I talk to people in the community about art, a lot of the comments are, well, I'm not really creative. I'm not an artist. And I don't believe that. I think that everybody in their own way, whether they write, whether they speak, whether they, you know, make a meal.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's art in all of that. And I think it's extraordinary. And I would encourage everybody that's listening today to access your inner artist and express it in a way that is comfortable for you.
And authentic.
Yeah, and authentic. Any parting words as we close 2024? Anything you want to say to the audience, Kelty?
I want to say keep doing art, especially if you're an artist listening, a creative listening. I took too long of a break this year, I feel like. And while life happens, always find the spark to do something creative, for sure. And even amongst chaos and confusion and even sadness, to do that, to just take some time and do that for yourself.
And I guess I want to close 2024 by saying that art is so extraordinary. Our art community is so remarkable. Art is urgent. It's urgent to me as a leader of the St. Pete Arts Alliance because it connects, it communicates, it heals, it educates. There is so much value. And also not to forget that art is a tremendous economic driver to the city of St. Pete. So it's not the garnish on our plate. It's the plate. And that's why people come here. So thank you so much for being here with me today. It was such a pleasure. Yes. And of course, special thanks to our friends at Radio St. Pete who give us an opportunity to talk with you. So happy holidays, everybody.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.